That's the sound of unaged whiskey transforming into Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Around 1860, Nearest Green taught Jack Daniel how to filter whiskey through charcoal for a smoother taste, one drop at a time. This is one of many sounds in Tennessee with a story to tell. To hear them in person, plan your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get the best quality Dutch Boy paints for your painting project at Menards. Paint in one coat with MaxBond Plus exterior paint. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance. With over 800 one-coat colors, it's designed to work for you. And with Dutch Boy's easy-opening, smooth-pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Like right here, just pay attention to us. The middle children.
Hello, I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is
Middle Children.
Wow.
I mean, that was like next level. That was really unbelievable. Jesse, you are zooming in from the beach.
Honey, I'm on family vacay. And here's the thing. What a rocky road, and not the ice cream. Mm. I'm talking literal bumps. And actually, my sister is in the room right now listening because she said, Jesse, I really want to see a professional. And I said, well, then come in the room because
and you said, the pro is I can give you some tips to find one, but
you know. And she settled.
Let me tell you something. Do you guys go on family vacation every year?
We do. We famously go on family vacation every year. And
I'm stressed out.
I'm stressed out. Let me tell you what happened at first because it was such a middle child. And Sandy, I mean, luckily you can attest, but true nightmare. Okay. So we get to the house and, you know, it's me, my parents, and my sister.
Is it an Airbnb situation?
I get it's like you have to rent a house, at least in Delaware, through like we rent it through a company or something.
Okay. Got it.
So. They clean. It's a whole, I don't even know. But so we get to this house. We've never been to this house, Chris. Mm. And that actually does, it's a problem. So last year, famously, you know, my brother and his girlfriend got the best room. I got there later. And so I got the attic, which then was filled with bugs. And I said, actually, no, thank you. And then I moved to a twin bed in another room.
Mm.
Now, was I happy? No.
See, I famously thrive in attics.
That's very interesting. So this is what I know about me. Two things. And I'm going to throw the fire card out and I just want you to hear it. I like to feel safe in a room. I like to unpack immediately and I consider my clothes my children and I want them safe in a closet or drawer.
I could be staying someplace for a month and a half and I would still be living out of the suitcase.
I love that for you. I do. I really do. I see that for you even. I see you as sort of nomadic and very carefree. And I think I'm carefree about some things.
Well, you know me. Carefree is my middle name.
No, but Chris, I know for a fact that if I were like, is it okay if you stay on the floor in my bathroom? You would be like, without a question, what a dream. I'm more than happy. Do you have a towel? Like you would absolutely do that.
And I would not sleep a single wink, but I would still do it. Yeah.
And you would say in the morning you slept fine.
Oh, I slept great.
Yeah, exactly. I am very much affected by where I sleep. It's important to me that I feel safe and that I feel unpacked. I know that's weird, but it's very true for me. Now, my brother is like you. My brother could literally sleep in between two cushions and say he's happy.
You see, last weekend, I went to a friend's house in a lake house, right? I got there second, and she said, here's your choice of rooms. There's one, this one on the first floor. There's two upstairs, the upstairs rooms. Or there's one in the basement, and you have to walk partially outside to get there. And I was like, I'll take the basement.
Why? What? But that almost, why would you on... You picked first and you picked the worst?
Because I knew that if I didn't pick it, whoever picked it was going to be like in a mood. So I was like, I'll be fine with it. And it also had its own bathroom. So I'm like, I could poop in peace. And also in the basement, I knew it would be probably the quietest. And I'm a very light sleeper. So I'm like, if I hear literally anything. And I slept very well.
I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. And I am the opposite of you. And I know that about myself. Okay.
Which
we
is
all
important.
Know that about me. I'm not quiet about it. Some would say my sister's nodding. I'm boisterous. I am. I say, guess what? I need this. So we get to the house. I'm like, oh, great. We can unpack. My parents are like, we can't unpack. And I say, wherefore art thou? Why?
Yeah. Why?
And they say, Because your brother hasn't arrived yet with his girlfriend, and we can't pick the rooms without them.
That
and
I say, is not how picking rooms goes. Has nobody seen The Housewives?
Thank you. And so Sandy and I are both like, interesting. We don't think this is fair. And, you know, do I start pulling out the dirty cards? Yeah, I do. And I say, so, Dad, you're telling me we have to wait for Danny and his girlfriend, who famously you said from birth, that this is a family trip until you're engaged. And for some reason, there's been a loophole, okay? Because, you know, and that's fine that she's come 2 years. Fine, great. But, you know, now we get first pick of the room. No! We've got problems. Now
see, that's
I'm upset.
That's some shit my parents would 100% do, is that because they would be like, well, she's the guest. And I'm like, so for the rest of time, she's the guest? So now this is my life? So now I'm the middle of four?
I said, hold on a sec. And my parents said, we want them to get here so they can be a part of the room choice. Okay. There was a clear favorite room. I had eyed it. I actually put my backpack in there. My mom said, you can't do that. And I said, interesting. Okay. But that was the room I wanted. And I said, I had a lot of reasons why I should have it. Okay.
Now, are you and Sandy sharing a room, or you get your own room?
No, we get our own room. But Sandy and I made a pact when we got here. We said we stick together. Thick as thieves. You can't break us apart. Chris, you could try. I dare you to try. You couldn't do it.
I'm going to try. I'm going to get in the car, come down there and try.
I know. So my parents like really did float it like in a way that was, then they're going to get here, we're going to have a conversation. This is what happened. Okay, first of all, Sandy and I are upset in the living room with all of our stuff. My parents are unpacking because they can.
Naturally.
And we're just sitting there just, you know, waiting, if you will. They come in, a big hello. And then my parents are like, we're waiting for you guys to pick the room. Now, there is the good room that everybody wants that I should have gotten.
Yeah, this
okay,
is
great.
My question. How would the conversation go even if they got there? Like, who decide? What's the point of this?
Okay, so I said, okay, so wait. So there's that room. Then there's my parents' room, the nice, you know, master. Next to it is a room with bunk beds, which nobody wants. Mm. And then the one next to it has a boat bed. Now, the boat bed is a full, but it still is a children's room. So, you know, does anyone want the boat bed? No. Will you sleep in the boat bed? Sure. Then there's an apartment in the back.
Oh, wow. Okay?
Now, originally, my brother and his girlfriend were going to stay in the apartment, but then they decided they no longer needed to stay in the apartment. And they were willing to look at the rooms in the house, which was sweet. So now we have all that information. Okay. We go to the apartment. Now, Sandy and I get here. It's an illegal apartment. What does that mean, Chris? It means there are no closets. Mm. Okay. And the rooms are small and nowhere to put your clothes. Okay. There's a kitchen and, you know, a bathroom, but it's small is what I want to say.
Oh, see, that would not bother me in the least. I would be, even in my own house, I have piles of folded clothes, like, on open shelves.
I simply can't. You see, I simply can't. Anyone who knows me knows my clothes have, you know, destinations, wardrobes, bureaus. We've got closets for things. Everybody who's got a personality, which is all of my clothing, needs to feel safe with their friends who are also my clothes. So the point is, I get here, there are no closets. I go, ooh, this could be bad. But how nice would this be for a couple to use one room for sleeping and one as a closet or just to put their things? Then that mm-hmm. would be convenient. Now, my parents, they go around with, you know, my brother and his girlfriend. They come back and they go, they've chosen, which once again, I thought it was a conversation, but it was not. They said they've chosen. And they are going to go with the room that you wanted. So where would you and Sandy like? The bunk bed and the boat room or the apartment in the back? But we don't really want you in the apartment. And Sandy and I said, well, you know, the thing I like about me, and I've said it once and I'll say it again, I like to go into vacations apparently ready to fight.
Mm.
And so I was a bull waiting for a curtain. And all of a sudden, there's a red bandana waving in front. And I said, pack your bag, Sandy, pack up. We're going to the apartment. And, you know, we weren't happy. It's now been coined the drug den by my family.
See, I'd be like, I'm there, honey. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, it is the drug den now. And honestly, we run it. We run an honest and a decent shop here. We do. We really do. But and it's been very, I mean, we're having the time of our lives. You know, we were upset. And we actually decided to stay in the apartment as a punishment for my parents. And
well,
did they learn a lesson? Maybe. Did they swear on their life, Sandy, that I get first room pick next year? They did. Come back next year to see if they hold
through.
Yeah,
you better write that down.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least, I mean, are you having a good time at least?
Having a great time. Wait till I show you what I got.
What did you get?
Would you like to meet Penelope?
Is it a weird bag?
It's not a weird bag. Sandy, would you grab Penelope for me?
What is it?
This is something I love to do with my little sister. That's not Penelope. I like to tell her to get things for me. Sandy normally doesn't do it, but here, even if you just give me the bag.
What is this?
Oh, the bag. The whole bag. So Penelope, as you know, my apartment is that of a circus.
I can already see it peeking and I'm so upset. What the literal...
Penelope!
You guys, what Penelope is quite a large emu, I believe.
Head.
But just from the base of the neck up, almost like you would hang a deer head.
Yes.
But it's a emu and it is not real. Now, I personally love it.
I love it. Let me explain. Penelope, I saw her and I said, bitch, get in my apartment. What are you doing in a shop?
Yeah, you saved her. She seems rescued.
She's happy. She's literally, look at that. Would you look at the contour?
Look at the contour. And I love the hair, which appears to be made of a broom.
Penelope, the thing about Penelope is I saw her and I said, she's my number one bitch and she's coming home with me. And I can't wait till when I can have an apartment in New York again. And a lucky feller comes back and he'll say, is that a bird head? And I'll say, are you speaking about Penelope?
Now, see, Jesse, what I'm seeing, let me see. Penelope is the base. Is she hollow?
She is
hollow.
Yeah, see, hollow.
She could be a great hiding spot for things.
Oh yeah. Oh, Penelope, she's a watchdog bird. And I don't know if you can get that.
You get some family heirlooms, you put her right inside Penelope. No one's looking in the emu head for the family
heirlooms. No one's looking in Penelope. Not unless they're sick.
No.
Freaks.
Unless they're freakos, exactly.
Anyhow, so I bought Penelope today and I have been buying things. You would think I'm a millionaire how I am.
How much did Penelope cost?
See, and this is a fun game for the audience and all of us to play. Now, Penelope, again, this is going to be an apartment game changer for me. Now I have something fun wherever I go, a centerpiece. But regardless, that's worth thousands of dollars. We know that, okay? But what's the real price tag on a piece like Penelope?
Well, how much did you pay for her? I think that would probably tell us
that
the price tag.
That would be the question. I don't know if you should guess. I don't know.
You're going to guess too. $27.
Okay. So see, but that makes me feel like you don't understand art.
How much did Penelope cost?
Penelope, a one of a kind piece. I don't think you're getting that part. You know, this is a one of a kind piece.
Make
they
sure
didn't
that
have
you
two Penelopes.
Make sure that you follow Stuck in the Middle on Facebook. We're going to put a picture of Penelope.
Yeah, we will.
What was the price tag, Jesse? I'm getting concerned.
Now, yeah, no, no. The price tag on this one-of-a-kind piece of art that they get in from overseas, the woman told me. Overseas. And they get
no.
one of every animal.
Where? Straight from China, I would assume?
Penelope ran me a solid 168.
What?
Now.
I'm screaming.
Here's the thing. I thought she'd be 500.
You paid.
And I'd have to have a real conversation with myself about Penelope. But when I saw 168, I said, does she have a sister? You know, I really thought.
$168?
Yeah. But again, how much do you think a moose or a deer head costs? That's a lot.
Well, is she a real emu head?
Of course not, but she's art.
What is she made out of?
Paper mache, I believe.
Okay. Well, Jesse, I love that for you.
Yeah. I love that for me, too.
I'm happy for you. You seem filled with joy over her.
She really has made me happy.
So, I mean, can you put a price on happiness? No.
No, I don't think you can.
I mean, you can, and it's $168, apparently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good for
you. That's about it.
Somehow we've already gotten into our first segment.
Let's dive in.
I mean, I feel like we're already in there.
Okay, great. No need to redive.
But we can, guys, because we love that song.
I love that for you.
But what are you loving?
What am I loving? Honestly, Jesse, right now, not much is what I have to say on that.
Oh, no, Chris.
I will say I went to Pennsylvania last weekend, as I mentioned.
Yes.
I've also been watching Schitt's Creek. There's been a lot going on. So I love Schitt's Creek? Yes, absolutely. I just watched Stevie saying maybe this time and I sobbed.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I just don't know like what I want to do with my entire life. I feel like is kind of what's going on.
Interesting. Okay. So you've sort of decided now's the right time to kind of lock down the future, if you will.
I wouldn't say I decided.
Yeah.
My brain decided. Well, I was in Pennsylvania. I was with friends and I was like, this is the least anxious I felt in many months.
Moons even, sure.
So I don't know. I'm just at a confused time.
I know.
I'm like, do I want to live in New York forever? Absolutely not. But do I want to live in LA? Also, not really. But like, I feel like because of what we do, I have to. But then I'm like, yeah. Is this... Like, it's just a confusing time. Part of me is like, should I move to a small town in the Hudson Valley for a year where I can go to the city if I have to? I can drive to Albany if I have to. As we know, my brother and his wife are having a child. So I'm like, I don't want to leave when a baby is coming. There's a whole lot going on.
I don't hate that idea if you're semi close to the city. I mean, listen, after I met Penelope, I said, do you think I couldn't open a shop called Kooky for Kooks, Kook Magoo? And it's just you come and you find weird shit. That could be my niche.
I think that it's called Etsy.
Not Etsy. Etsy's too like a girl in the middle of nowhere who puts like four pieces of string on a long thing of string and calls it $50. Let me tell you something. If you saw Penelope on Etsy, that's $600.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that there's a huge market for paper mache emus, but listen, live your fantasy. Live your truth.
I don't know.
What's been going on with Schitt's Creek, because like this is how I've been feeling. Because in Schitt's Creek, it like becomes clear that like they're so much happier now than they were back then. Also, all these celebrities in real life are like miserable and stuff. So I'm like, am I working so hard just to die in a bathtub someday?
I hear you. But I mean, honestly, every time I go on a date with a guy in DC, or I'm like, what will happen when he inevitably falls in love with me? And now I have to choose between love and real life. And then luckily for me, they don't get me to that point. You know, they make that decision before that. I'm very lucky, but I'm saying, don't think it hasn't crossed my mind.
Yeah. And also,
what are we working towards?
Exactly. And I'm like, can you imagine if we could just write Hallmark movies for a living? You can do it from anywhere. Do it from our small, whatever we want. We fly for the meeting. We have the meeting. We fly to obviously star in the film as well. But they put you up in a hotel. So
and that's only a month of shooting.
Exactly.
That's nothing.
So I don't know. I'm feeling at a crossroads. It's been an interesting week of dead inside tears. Dead inside tears.
Tears again.
Dead inside tears. So
tears. Yeah.
You know, we'll see. Did I start writing a Hallmark film starring you and I? Yes, I did.
Oh my God. Care to share?
Well, I don't want, you know me. I don't like, I don't like telling Hallmark stories.
No, I know. That's just a private thing. couldn't be.
But is it about two people trying to act, make it as actors in the city and then in the very beginning decide to move someplace else? Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm there so far. I'm on board.
Well, because I'm like, what actual film would you and I be able to play in?
Yeah.
And be equal co-stars where I'm not just like the friend that gives a wink at the beginning.
We can't have that. We can't have that.
So, you know, who knows?
I already am obsessed with it.
But anyway, what else are you loving besides papier-mâché emus?
Well, what else am I loving? Let me just go through the things I bought. Okay, because I love them all.
Okay.
Sandy, could you help me?
Jessie's making her sister go around
could
the room.
Get me the little box?
And collect all of the tchotchke items that she's bought on the beach.
Actually all four. Perfect.
My goodness.
Okay, great. So first of all, as we know, bless your heart. Bless your soul. Thank you so much. Okay. So I said, you know, who am I if not a woman who gets jewelry? Mm. But the thing about me and jewelry is I said, again, can we talk about it before we get it? Can we get a conversation starter? Is this a tree ring? What would you call it?
It looks to be, what I see is three snake heads.
I love that. And that's the thing about it. So it could be snake heads on the attack, or I reverse it, as you can see with this ring. You can, unless my hand right now is a little swell.
And of course you guys can't see this, but it is a ring that, as I said, appears to be three snakes shooting from one body.
Yes. Or a tree, depending on sort of how you are and what you see. I said, I'm buying jewelry. Oh, I actually bought something. I bought something for our surprise thing that we're doing. Mm. So I won't show that because it'll be exciting. But I also bought these, which are just some very simple.
Oh, with the evil eye.
Yes.
So these are earrings that appear to be
all beads.
Hand beaded with evil eyes in the center of them, which are for protection.
Here's the thing about me. I love protection. And I love beads. So if you give me both, I mean, I'm happy. I'm very happy.
What are those, some coasters you bought as well?
They're in little boxes. So they weren't.
Oh, got it. Got it.
I also bought CBD gummies.
How is it? Because CBD doesn't do anything for me.
I don't know. I just ate 100-milligram cookie, which the guy was like, only have a little. And I was like, sir, I'm popping the whole thing.
Of CBD?
And I'll see you when please. So, I mean, am I tired? Yeah. Does that mean it's, I don't know.
When did you do this?
When did I do it? Maybe 45 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago.
Oh, that was quite a choice.
Maybe an hour ago, maybe more than that.
Well, we'll see if your 100-milligram edible kicks in the middle of this recording.
I'm on vacation, Chris.
Listen, I love it for you.
Thank you so much. I can only be on vacation, you know, and I can only buy so much. And if you're wondering, I'm afraid to look. I've probably spent, I don't know, over $1,000 on weird shit. And that's who I am.
Well, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do to find your joy.
Honestly, 100%. You get me.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I'm loving right now. What am I loving? You know, not much. I'll tell you that.
Oh dear.
Let me think. I am loving
any little snack, any little TV show, any little, even like a song could be.
I've gotten really back into Goldfish crackers. So
interesting.
That's been, you know, an exciting journey.
That is. Do you do head first or you tail first?
Oh, see, interesting. Which maybe this is interesting. I always eat a Goldfish cracker, hot dog style. So split the fish. If the fish is looking at you, you're going to axe it right down the middle. So it's two equal halves of fish.
You eat it down the middle, the head, and then also the body.
No. I eat it lengthwise down the middle.
I see.
I bite the fish from the side.
What a humanitarian, if
then
you
it's
will.
Too, I like the thinness, the crisp of the half of the fish.
I hear that. I see that. That's, yeah.
You know?
That's interesting. I think I am if I'm going to be honest, and you know, I always am, I am a sucker, if you will, with my goldfish. I normally try to suck.
I also will do that. I like the salt.
Yeah.
You know what snack I've been making? This is actually quite something. I've been getting mini cucumbers, okay?
All right.
I've been cutting them down the middle, obviously. Now, this is where things get fun. I put it out almost like you would a plate of nacho chips, okay? But it's cucumbers, and then I put salt, and then I'll put like some Parmesan cheese, some mozzarella cheese, some pepperoni, maybe some garlic and herb seasoning, and it's divine. It's delicious, and you get that nice crunch from a chip. But I'm having a cucumber.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that for you. I do. I love that for you. I think for you, that sounds like what a trick, what a treat.
So what's your issue here?
Well, I think that if I'm trying to trick myself to think that these are nachos, I'm going to be sad when I eat it. I'm going to go,
that wasn't the plan. At no point was I like, I'm going to make fake nachos with cucumbers. I just did this with the cucumber. And as I was having it, I was like, thin people could use this
thin
as
people.
Nachos if
yes,
they wanted to.
That's the truth.
You know, but it's fine. Do I wish it was nachos? Yeah. Do I want nachos right now? Yeah, I do. But
yeah,
you know what?
Thin people. You know what? I've had it up to here with thin people. I went to the outlets the other day and I said, you know what? I need a leather jacket. And turns out my body doesn't fit into a leather jacket. Like my arms, I either look like I'm going to Hulk out and rip this jacket to smithereens, or I look like I'm wearing a boyfriend that doesn't exist leather coat. Like there is no.
That's also how I feel in a leather jacket. I've even like worn my dad's old one, and I had a friend be like, she made a comment that wasn't a compliment about the leather jacket. It was just like a comment on me having it. And I was like, oh, it's my dad's old one. And she was like, obviously. And so, and I was like, okay.
That felt pointed.
So I don't do that anymore. But
yeah,
what are you going to do? Oh. You know, Jesse, yeah. I kind of feel like we should just get right into
it. Let's get right into it.
Okay, guys, it's time for
the Hallmark Movie of the Week.
All right, wow. Are you ready?
I'm so freaking ready.
Do you want to start or should I?
Okay. Do we have a title or a jumping off point?
I mean, do you want me to look one up?
No. I think I got one.
Okay.
Picture this.
Okay, I'm picturing.
I am a high-powered hypnotist.
Wow.
Yes, I'm a high-powered hypnotist, and I work right outside of New York. you know, a little bit upstate, you know, but an easy drive. You can take the path. It's not too far. It's not too bad.
Some might say that there is a train station right in town that goes back and forth to the city every day.
That could work as a commute.
And it also is only about an hour drive from Albany. Not that I've been doing any research, but...
I'm just saying hypothetically, okay? And so it's called hypnotizing...
What's called that?
The place I work the my business.
It seems like that CBD cookie is coming in hot.
It could have kicked in. Who's to say? But this place, it's called Hypnotizing Heroes. Okay, because we think highly of ourselves and we should.
I think it would be probably called Hypnotist Heroes.
Okay, but we're not nitpicking. But if we were, we would definitely change it to that.
Not nitpicking.
Are you leaving? No. So.
I'm not going anywhere. Jessie is talking to her sister Sandy.
Oh yes. So it's run by a brother sister. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Named Chuck.
Chuck and Goldie.
And Goldie. Okay. Chris is Chuck. I am Goldie. We work there. We it was really crazy because our mom growing up, we were both the middle. There's one older and one younger. Anyhow, and we're twins. I don't know if I mentioned that. And we have a power almost together. One of us would be outside on the playground. You pulled mom's hand and said, Goldie, get Goldie. I was sitting at the bottom of a slide. Mom came over, grabbed me. Just as she did, a tree fell, smashed right where I was sitting. Okay?
So here's my quick question.
Okay.
Are we hypnotists or are we psychics?
Yeah. It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both is this thing. So we're psychics. And we also, we started from there. Our mom was like, we're special, we're different. We went to, magic school and just
so
sort of,
maybe, my focus has been more psychic and yes. Yours has been more hypnotizing.
Exactly.
People.
And sort of, mind control. Okay? So that's what's really important.
Got it.
So we get a phone call that morning and, we have an emergency session with somebody who is trying to move on with their life. Mm. Okay. And so we say, come in. You're going to talk to me and my brother. I focus on hypnotizing and he focuses on sort of readings and sort of any intuitive feelings. Okay. Mm. So this man walks into our shop or our place of work, if you will. And the bell rings, as it always does, because we have a bell on the door, so we know when someone enters.
And they always say, if you were any good, wouldn't you be able to see me coming? And we always go, ha-ha.
We like the sound of the chime, okay? And the chime goes off, and you look up, and Chris, this guy has to be... He brushes, the top of his head brushes against the bell. It sort of rings twice.
No way. That bell is hung at what?
What?
I think we hung the bell at about 6'3". So if his hair is touching it, he's got to be close to 6'1", 6'2".
Exactly. And honestly, I think it's 6'2", 6'3". It really is. He's right in between it. And he's comfortable there. I mean, if we're counting the hair, saying? The hair gets us above maybe wet. He's 6'1¾". Okay. But when the hair's dried,
it'll do.
And he's got olive skin. Mm. He's very attractive. Dark hair. He walks in and whoa, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And he says, hello, I have an appointment. Next thing we know, the door opens again.
No.
Okay, it does. And again, the bell rings twice because this guy is even taller. And what if I told you they're twins?
I don't think I would believe it.
Well, you have to because there are two twins that walk in. It's Ben and Ken, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so Ben is first. He got there first. Ken, you can feel, is also there.
And
Ken, moral support.
They're identical, but Ken has a beard.
Yes.
And Ben just has a little stubble.
Little stubble. I mean, who's to say who's better with that type of description?
I mean,
I like
it's
both.
A tough choice.
It's anyone's ball game, really. So Ben's here for the consultation. Okay. And you and I take him into a room. He asks if Ken can come too. He's family. We say, okay, that's fine. But Ken, keep it down. Okay.
And I say, and keep your mind thoughts down too, because we don't want to, we don't want to, you know,
absolutely
pick up on your energy.
I don't want that in this house. Okay. So we start getting into it. We're talking. We say, Ben, why are you even here? And he says, I cannot move on. I cannot continue my life. My wife, I'm sorry, my dead wife.
Oh, my God.
He says, passed away. And Ken chimes in. We told him not to, but he chimes in. He goes, she's been dead for
Ken,
6 years.
Ken, please.
Ken. And Ken goes, okay, all right.
We said simmer down.
We said simmer it down now. And so, and you know what? Ken's given a little toot, and I don't hate it. I'll say that. He's given a little toot. He actually takes out a vape. He smokes a little.
Oh,
we go, no smoking. It's CBD. So who knows?
And I say, listen, you can smoke whatever you want here. Her and I always have this conversation. I've smoked crack in this office. Honestly, right. Do whatever you want.
Have fun. And there's a little twinkle, and I see it between you two, but that's fine.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. And so then Ken is like, it's been 6 years. He can't get over it. He says that his house is haunted by her and he still feels her presence. Mm. And he also says that, like, he just can't seem to emotionally move on. And that's why we came to you.
And I say,
you want to take it over?
I say, Ben, let's go ahead and talk about Claudia. And
I like that.
And Ken gasps and he says, he didn't say your name.
Wait, yeah.
And we smile and acknowledge and say, we know.
We know that.
We know. And I say, so Claudia is in the room with us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I can feel Claudia. Was she a sharp dresser?
Ooh, yeah.
And he says, no, she was actually not a sharp dresser at all. And I say,
famously not.
I say, I know, Ken or Ben, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
She's wearing what appears to be a man's flannel. Again,
yeah.
Ken gasps and says, she died in a. And I say, Ken, I don't want to have to ask you to wait outside.
I don't want that. Yeah.
And Ben says, well, she did die in my flannel.
And wow.
Because she was attacked by a bear when we were camping. And I say,
yeah.
Yeah, that explains the scratch marks. And I say, I'm just kidding. She's at peace.
She's at peace. She looks good.
Spirits don't look like they do when they die, okay? She looks good. She looks thin also.
Actually thin. Some would say thin.
Some might say ghostly, and we laugh.
Wow.
And I say, that's just a fun thing we like to have. And he says, well, can you tell her I love her? And I'm like, you can tell her. Okay.
You tell her.
She's in the room. You pretend that, let's just say for the sake of time, you pretend Goldie is your dead wife. Just say what you want to her because Claudia is sitting right beside Goldie.
Oh, right.
And so he starts saying, he says, I've never met anyone like you. I love you so much. You know, it's sad. Okay.
It's sad.
I get a little teary eyed.
Wow.
And as well as you do.
Oh, wow.
And Ken also. And
yeah, Ken.
Claudia is giving me the energy, right? She's telling me that she wants Ben to move on.
Ugh, that makes sense.
Okay, and so I say, Ben, Claudia wants you to know she doesn't blame you for the bear attack just because you didn't put the stakes away like she told you to.
She did ask you to, and you didn't.
She blames the fact that she had done that honey hair wrap earlier that day. And
that didn't help, that for sure.
Definitely did not help. The bear was immediately attracted to her scalp. He thought she was a graham cracker. So
absolutely.
It was mostly her fault. And she didn't suffer at all because he kind of
it was quick.
Plucked her head like a cherry pop, you know?
Very, very quick. And he remembers. He saw.
He watched the whole thing. So naturally, I'm like, and you're getting therapy, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm working on it. I'm like, all right. Step B is going to be you go get some therapy about that.
Double time it.
And I say, but what Claudia really wants is for you to move on with another person, okay? Another woman.
Right. That makes sense.
And he says, well, where will I ever find a woman as colorful and and fun? And he's, you know, I have a thing for women that have an art school teacher aesthetic. And I'm not always finding that.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
You know, and I say, it's hard to find. And then I look at you, you're actively wearing a smock. And I say, just so you know, Goldie wasn't just doing pottery. That's just how she chooses to dress it. And he says, oh, interesting. And so then you guys make eye contact. And then I say, Ken, can you please stop?
Yeah.
And he says, I didn't say anything. And then you say, he didn't say anything. And I'm like, sorry, I'm just getting such heavy energy from you. I've never experienced energy like this before.
Oh, wow. And you said heavy?
I mean, strong vibes coming from him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's all I can do to not read your mind. I'm giving you the respect of not reading your mind.
But you're begging me.
But a little bit of what he's thinking is seeping into my brain. I can't help it.
It has to. It has to.
You know, and what it's saying is he likes what he sees.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame him.
And I say, Ken, listen, don't even think about it because I don't do that with my clients.
Yeah, he loves work and, you know, pleasure, different for him.
Exactly.
I, however, am willing to dabble, and I make that clear.
And I say, well, I'm the professional here.
Right. And I say, he really is.
She wore a smock to work, okay?
Right.
And so a lot's been going on there, you know?
Yeah, I'll say.
And Ken is embarrassed.
Well, he's humiliated.
He realizes that I can start seeing what he's thinking. He gets up. He hits his head because he's so tall.
Oh, so tall.
He hits his head and I say, as he stands, I say, ah, what? But he hits it. It's too late.
Oh.
You know, I know it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
But then that's when all of a sudden there's a block, okay? I can no longer read his thoughts or feelings. And I stop dead cold in my tracks. And I say, Goldie, can we have a minute, please?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, sure. And you go to take Ben's hand. And I say, no, you and I, can we you have a I. moment together?
Oh, sure.
And so Ken and Ben, they go out. And I say, Goldie, I don't know what's going on. I've never experienced anything like this. I'm having no problem reading Ben, the straight twin, but something about Ken, I was getting such heavy vibes, and then all of a sudden it's nothing. I can't read his mind. I don't know how to deal with this. How do you talk to someone when you can't tell what they're thinking?
First of all, I obviously had to put a hex over Ken.
Oh my God.
I could feel,
you
I could
fucking
feel
bitch.
That I could feel that there was some positive energy, and I didn't want you to ruin it like you always have. Reading the guy's minds that you're dating.
Why?
Because you were with Brad. He just thought about, you know, a threesome, and out the door you went with no explanation.
Yeah, well, that's what he had coming, okay? If he wanted to have a threesome with the cashier from the fucking grocery store, then he can go down and he can do it. I also stopped going to that grocery store.
Well, I'm sure. But what I'm saying is I had to put a hex on Ken. I had to protect him because I think that you should just get to know him without reading his mind. Listen, I'm not a psychic, but I feel vibes. And there is a strong vibe between the two of you. And I think you got to explore it.
I don't think I can be. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
He believes in Western medicine, and I believe in holistic medicine, okay?
Well, according to the phone call that I recorded, Ben was looking to be hypnotized, and Ken was looking for a psychic reading.
Well, I can't give him a reading if you have a hex on him. How are we going to explain that?
Well,
I guess we'll have to have an awkward convo.
No. I think it'll be... Let's not... worry about it today is what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that Ken obviously believes in what you're doing, and that's what counts. And I think that you should just take it honestly with him and take it slow. I'm not a great psychic, but I can stumble through it.
Okay.
Okay.
So what are we saying? We're going to try to date these twins?
I think that we're just going to maybe try to date the twins.
I feel like I deserve that happiness.
That's what I'm trying to say. Now, am I worried about myself with the room with Ben hypnotizing him? Sure I am. But I think if you supervise, everything's going to be fine.
All right. I say we start with Ben. See, I'm just worried because you know that age-old wives tale? If your friend puts a hex on someone so you can't read their mind.
Can't read their mind.
I'm going to have to choose between love and my gifts.
And magic, of course. Well, that is, you know, a wives tale to scare us, I think. I don't think it's real. It couldn't be.
I mean,
it's our livelihood.
To be honest, I've never met anyone else like us. So,
exactly.
Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. It'll be fine.
I say, let's bring in Ben again, okay? I'm going to talk to Ben. And then you can talk to Ken. And we'll figure things out. Ben, you can come back on in here. And we hear the door. He hits his head again. Yeah. And I'm like, Ben.
Ben, come on.
Duck, okay? It doesn't take a psychic to know you're going to hit it.
Yeah.
And he comes in and I say, okay, Ben, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Hopefully happily remarried and starting an art school or summer program somewhere.
And your hair, do you think that's a permanent thing or
the poof?
Well, does baldness run in the family? What's the deal?
Okay, this feels like an attack. It's thinning a little. Is that what you mean?
I'm just wondering. I'm getting to know you. This is how these things are done.
Oh, it's thinning a little.
Tell me about your past dating life, okay? Before your dead wife. And I use that term with love.
Of course. Actually, she was the only woman we met in high school. We dated for, you know, a solid 10 years, got married, and then...
Okay, wow, honey. That is very romantic. Okay,
yeah.
And what are you looking for in a woman?
Gosh, kooky, fun, different. I'm looking for someone who's like, you know, not cookie cutter, not just, you know, the girl off the block. Maybe doesn't wear just blue jeans and a white tee. Okay, maybe it's splatter paint pants and tie dye. I don't know. I'm just saying she's different.
And I say, would it bother you if she smoked cigarettes? And Goldie says, I don't smoke cigarettes. And I say, and there we have it. We're all on the same page. And he says, what's going on? And I'm like, my psychic ability is telling me that you need to go on a date with Goldie. Naturally, I can't demand that. I'm not going to take $200 from you to tell you to date my friend.
Of course not.
Where you'll also be paying for everything. But I'm just suggesting. I've never felt this kind of vibes before.
Yeah, it's strong vibes.
And I say also, did you know Goldie and I are twins? Which is just interesting. And he says, wow, okay. Goldie, can I take you to dinner sometime?
And I'm like, oh, I just so happen to be free now. Let's go.
And I say, you're not free now because you have to do another interview.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Give me about an hour and a half. Pick me up at 7. And get your brother to also pick up, come with you, okay?
Well, maybe you talk to his brother. As we discussed.
Ben, you go and do what we talked about and don't even worry about what's coming out of Chuck's mouth, okay?
Oh. Okay. And then Ben leaves and I say, what are you doing?
And I say, just let me try this.
Try what?
I'm saying.
You're supposed to hook up me and Ken and here you are taking all the thunder. You're going to go out to dinner and forget about me.
No, I'm trying to get Ken to pick you up at the same time.
Oh my God. Ken's not in the room.
I know, but Ken's about to come in the room. Ben's going to go back.
Oh, my God.
He can pick out both of their outfits. It's a slam dunk.
You put a hex on him, and now I can't. Ken, can you just come on in here, please?
Ken, can you come in, but also understand that everything's fine?
Listen, sorry. I got a little cranky. I haven't had my lunch yet.
It's all right.
It's 11 a.m. I'm goddamn starving. I haven't had anything except for breakfast this morning, and that was just a few eggs, some bacon, toast, a black coffee with some cream in it. I had a Danish as well. You know, I'm starving.
Yeah. No, we're on a diet. It makes sense. And when you're on a diet, sometimes you get hungry. So what?
And Ken says, okay, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Ken. Okay, so Ken, I know that you wanted a psychic reading, maybe a little direction for your love life. I know we spoke about that on the phone. Here's the thing. I've got a strong direction for you.
Okay.
And it's pointing right over there at my brother.
And I just look embarrassed, but like in a cute way.
And Ken's like,
him? Chuck?
Chuck?
I
thought you were married.
And I'm not married. And I blurted out.
And I go, oh no, he's definitely not married.
And he's like, but he seems so glamorous.
Absolutely. And secure. And I say, all a mirage.
And it seems he has such a cold air about him.
Right.
With new people. And
as if he doesn't want to meet anyone.
And I say, it's actually just the anxiety. I come off like Erica Jane in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But that I'm working through it.
Exactly. And he goes, oh, well, I'd love to take you out sometime. And I go, what a coinky dink. Because Ben and I are going out later. Tell you what, I already told him, to be honest. But you're going to go back with him. Come back in like an hour and a half. Pick us up. And what a fun night we're going to have. I personally can't wait.
I, for one, am nervous.
Well, sure. The boys leave. And guess what happens?
What happens?
You and I are so excited, okay? We are running around the house. You want the pearls. I was going to wear the pearls. I was going to do the headdress. You want that. We're running around.
It's a funny montage. And we keep on coming into the same room and we're wearing the exact same thing. And I say, you change.
No, yeah. So then one time we slam into each other, Chris. And we knock each other out. When we come to, this is very important. You and I go, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Chris, because we both have magical powers and we're twins, sometimes this happened only one time when we were younger, but one time we slammed into each other. Okay. And when we came to, we reversed powers.
Oh, God. Okay? Not this again.
If you can believe it. So now you have the power to be a hypnotist and I can read minds.
And I say, I don't know what to do with this.
And I say, oh, no, I don't want to know what Ben's thinking. I don't want to know what Ben's thinking. And you're like, well, you're going to know what Ben's thinking.
I say,
thinking.
Well, you're going to know. But and in the back of my head, I think I'm going to put a hex on this bitch. Because now I'm the hypnotist. Now I have the power. I'm going to put a hex.
Now you got the hex power. And not only can you put a hex on, Chris, every now and again, as a hypnotist, I'll get, how do you describe this sort of power? You know, I'll get the ability to control someone's mind long enough to make them do something, whether it's buy something, say something, maybe love something.
Maybe bring you extra mozzarella sticks.
Something like that.
Which we've done to many waiters and
many waiters
got in trouble at potion school because of that.
Yeah. So you know that in the back of your mind. You got a card to play. Okay?
Yeah. Exactly.
So the boys, ding dong. Somebody's here. We hear two bell hits.
Ding.
The boys are not getting... Duck. We both say duck.
Yeah. Also...
They refuse.
I like that we have a bell both at our home and at our office.
Oh, sorry. I thought...
Oh,
you froze.
I think you did. I like that we have a bell both at our home and our office.
Well, we love the sound of the chime, as we all know.
And the door.
And so, yeah.
You go.
Oh, I was going to say, the boys come in and Chris, they're strapping.
Oh, they look good.
They are, I can't even tell you. One of them, the one Ben, is wearing like a plaid shirt with a vest.
Oh my God.
And that vest, it just, it really, his arms are out. He's looking strong, and he's looking as though he could lift a branch or a woman who is heavier. I mean, this man is strong. So there's a lot of comfort in that for me. And Ken.
And you look at me and you say, you have a perverted mind, because now you can read my thoughts.
Because Ken comes in, he's wearing a silk red shirt, which are making his green eyes pop.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, no one was, because Ken's looking real sharp, real good. Mm. And, you know, I don't like this, but he comes in and he looks at you and he sort of licks his lips. And I.
Wow. I see that is forward.
It's forward. It's forward. A lot of us. I was thrown off. Even.
So we go to dinner. We're at dinner. Okay. We're sitting. And then Ben is thinking, and you can hear him thinking about how beautiful you are.
Oh.
And he's like, if I only got a sign from, if I got the sign from her, then I know I'm supposed to kiss her. Okay. The sign. Okay. And so he's like, the sign is, and as he's thinking it, your mind goes blank because I put the hex on him.
How dare you?
And you look at me and you say, how dare you? And I say, welcome to the club, bitch. And Ken is using seltzer to clean off a marinara sauce stain on his silk shirt. And he actually takes it off, and he's wearing one of those white tank tops, you know?
I do.
And it hugs him just all in the right places, you know?
Just right, yeah.
And I'm like, this is getting
hot.
Steamy.
Steamy.
Like, what is this movie on, you know? Porn?
Right.
Pornhub?
It could be.
And I say, you know what? I have been meaning to go for a walk.
Wow.
And Ken is like, I also want to go for a walk. I'm also a little embarrassed because Ken is sitting topless in the restaurant. And I don't really love everyone staring, because we're notable figures around town.
Absolutely. We're very notable. And Ken has a really great body. People are sort of looking.
And also I'm like, I don't need any more competition here.
I don't need that. No.
And so Ken and I go for a walk, and you and Ben are sitting, and he says, I hope you don't mind. I know that we're supposed to get soup as the appetizer. I just don't care for soup. I don't love soup. I don't know how you feel about soup, but I just ordered some guac and chips instead.
And I tell him, I famously do not believe soup is at all a food and could be filling. And so I reject soup as well. And chips and guac just happen to be my bread and butter.
And he's like, it's almost like someone knew that. and you guys are really hitting it off. So he's like, tell me about your past relationships.
I guess you could say I'm a late bloomer. So, you know, relationship is such a heavy word, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I've laid with such a heavy thought or blanket in a while, you know? And am I afraid of commitment? I didn't say that. Am I afraid of love? I didn't say that either.
Am I afraid of intimacy? I didn't say that.
You keep putting words in my mouth. Please don't. But what I'm saying is I am scared.
And he says, what are you scared of?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What's the answer?
I guess I'll say relying on somebody and then them ending up, you know, not being there.
And he says, yeah, I get that. My wife's head was bitten off like a cherry.
Boy.
And then he says, I want you to know.
Yeah.
When I saw you, I thought I was dreaming because you were just the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Oh.
What did you think of me?
I was stunned. I thought you were really, I don't want to sound superficial, but tall and hot. I did.
And he says, it's okay. I get that all the time.
Yeah. Sweet.
And you say, I'm having a really hard time because I normally I can see people's minds. I, you know, the whole nine yards. But there's just something different about you. I never know what you're going to do next. And he says, that's the way I like things. And you're like, ooh, it's just really hard for me because I just really don't know when you might do things that I, you know. And he's like, I think you do know. And you're like, I don't. And he's like, you do. And then he leans in and he kisses you.
Was the soup the sign? Maybe it was. I don't know. But what I will say is it's a good kiss.
And you say, what was the sign? And he says, what?
Oh, shoot. Oh, no.
And you go, oh, no. And you're like, and he's like,
oh, no.
What are you talking about? I thought you couldn't read my mind. And you said, I couldn't, but my dumbass brother, Chuck, he told me there was a sign, but he didn't know what it was. And we hexed each other. It's a whole thing.
It's really too complicated to even talk about.
And he was like, the sign was my brother spilling something on himself.
Shut your face.
And he said, because once Claudia and I were like having a joking argument, and it was actually at our wedding, and there was a whole thing, you know how couples, you have fun, you talk about like,
yes,
if you die, would you be mad if I dated? And she was like, right, no, I'll send you a sign, I'll stain your brother's favorite shirt, because he was there. And he was like, if, how dare you say that to me? And it actually caused a bit of a riff in the family for a while.
Well,
because he really likes that silk. Anyway, that was the sign, but I'm a little confused because you said you couldn't read my mind.
Right.
And you say, I can't.
I can't.
Think of a number between 1 and 10, 7. And he's like, that's what I was thinking. You're like, it was a lucky guess. I was just, everyone thinks 7.
Everyone says 7.
And he says, I just need some time with this.
No. Oh, God.
And you say, sometime? Okay, well, I hope it's not longer than 60 minutes, because I hate that show. And you like try to make a joke about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, huh? And he has a weird face on him. And he's like,
oh, no.
I think I should go. I'll call you.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So we go. And now we cut to
you and Ken.
Me and Ken.
Okay. Are you in the woods?
We're walking around this beautiful town.
Oh, okay. You're walking. It's well lit.
It's a nice little town.
It's
gotta be.
It's well lit. There's like little lights around, like little Christmas lights type things. And so you guys are walking around and Ken's like, I'm sorry. I love this shirt. And you're like, it's fine. The stain's going to get out. Like, relax. Yeah.
And I say, and honestly, silk, it's, you know,
schmilk.
Silk schmilk.
Silk schmilk. That's what I always say. And he was like, well, it's my lucky shirt. And you go, oh, you wore your lucky shirt. Thought you were going to get lucky? Well, you
were right. And then I joke and I'm like, I'm kidding. But it is cute that you wore your lucky shirt on our date.
It is really cute that he wore his lucky shirt on our date.
Some might say if this happened in real life, I would marry the person.
Wouldn't that be fun? One time a guy I went on a date with told me he wore his lucky jacket.
How did it work out?
It didn't, and then it ended. So, but it was nice to know.
Yeah, and then we come back from commercial.
Sorry. We come back.
And it's Ken and Chuck again. And maybe you...
I'll finish it.
You lead the charge on Ken and Chuck, and then I'll come back and finish you.
Okay,
and
got it. So Ken and Chuck, they're walking around. He goes, oh, lucky shirt, blah, blah. And you say, why is it lucky? And he says, well, I...
She's a star, but she cry in her lonely world thinking.
And he goes, it was Britney Spears' shirt from the song Lucky music video that was actually cut for time. I'm a music video
and
director.
I say, let me get my hands on that, you faggot. Just kidding. That's what happens in my mind when I don't do that.
Yeah. And you say, oh my God, you know Britney? And he says, hashtag free Britney. And you say, hashtag free Britney. What is happening with that censorship? And the sister. And you have a whole very in-depth conversation. And all of a sudden, you're walking by this one little house. And the lights are blinking strobey. Mm-hmm. Almost like, and you're like, ugh. And he's like, ugh. And he's like, oh, you know what it is? One of the wires is loose. And you see wrapped around the tree that one of the... the connecting thing is sort of loose, which is why it keeps blinking like that, which is annoying. He goes, let's fix it. You're like, we don't need to fix it. He's like, let's fix it. And he goes, I'll hoist you up. And you say, how dare you?
What is that? Your idea of a joke?
You'll hoist me where? And he goes, I'm not joking. You're very thin. And you say... Okay. Did I hypnotize say,
objectively,
you?
Objectively not, but thank you.
But then he, without warning, bends and lowers and picks you up and you're like, ah! And he's like, no, just make the, connect the wires. And you're like, I can't believe we're doing this.
I'm like, normally when something like this happens, I just get down on all fours and he stands on my back.
And he's like, stop joking and connect the wires. And you're doing a whole bit. You can't help it. You've never been this high in your life. Okay? You're a solid 7-4.
The last time I was this high, I was taken off on an airplane. Okay?
And Ken's laughing so much. He's like almost dying. And he's like, just connect the cords. And you're like, now you're so bossy. Like you lift someone up and you
don't know
bossy.
If I like that.
And so as you connect the cord and it stops blinking, you both are laughing so hard. He drops you. You fall. You
that
both
seems
fall
right.
to the ground. You both fall to the ground and you're laughing. And then you kind of roll together and you stare into each other's eyes until you both like you because you've laughed that hard. And you're both at this point. He was worried about his silk shirt. It is covered in mud. You're both covered in mud and you're laughing. And then you have such a sweet, sensual kiss that is not only that of prospective lovers, but also good friends. And that's beautiful.
Like something that's going to stick.
Yes, exactly. So.
Okay. So I'm like, okay. And then as soon as we kiss, all of a sudden, I'm not psychic anymore. And I'm like, oh shit.
oh my God.
I think I'm losing the psychic power. Okay. And so I don't
say
anything.
Well, remember, you're the hypnotist right now because we've switched powers.
But I can't do that. I feel all powers leave my body.
Go. Oh no.
Okay. And for the first time ever, I'm like, I feel like a normal person.
Oh no.
And I don't love it. Okay.
No.
And so I don't say anything. But I say, I gotta go home. And he's like, did I do something wrong? And I'm like, no, not at all.
No.
I have to go. And so I go back. I go home. You're feeling sad. I tell you what happens. Yeah. You tell me what happens.
Right.
And you're like, well, what are you gonna do? I'm like, well, I'm gonna ghost him and I'll get my powers back, you know? And you say, you can't do that. We have a very deep, meaningful conversation, okay?
Yeah.
Where and you're obviously depressed because
very depressed.
We had different outcomes. And I say, you know, if he's the one that I'm supposed to be with and it takes away these powers, maybe that's what I want, you know?
Maybe that's fate.
And so I leave the house. We live in town, so I'm walking over to his house. I open the door and Ben is standing there and I say, excuse me, Ben. And he says, oh, and I'm like, it's good to see you here. Because, you know, I know what's going to happen and he knows what's going to happen. So I go down and I see Ken. Ken is actually walking. He's still walking around town. He got a milkshake, which I like.
Interesting. I like that for him.
Because he was like, I'm depressed. I'm going to get a milkshake. And I'm like, okay, good to know that you're the type of person that has a milkshake when you're
sad. Also, eats his emotions.
And I say, I have to tell you something. And he says, what? And I say, I'm lactose intolerant. And he says, whatever. We kiss. Suddenly, the psychic power comes back, you know?
Interesting.
And I say, what is going on? And then I remember a conversation with our great-great-grandmother who passed away when we were little, who told us that only when we found our real true love would our psychic powers be permanently placed in us. Okay, so, and only when I make the decision to accept that love will I get those powers. So,
oh my God.
Because I was willing to lose them for love, I was able to keep them.
Oh my God.
Which makes your whole thing a lot easier because you know what's going to happen.
It's very true.
But Ben comes to your door, he opens it, and you say, I'm so sorry, I'm willing to lose my powers for you. And he says, what? And you're like,
wait, what were you going to say?
Yeah. And he was like, that I think you stole my watch. And you're like, what? And then he starts laughing and you're like, oh my God. So you,
Ben,
you guys are la, 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 la laughing. And he was like, I got home and there was honey all over the counter. And see, you at first are like, that's probably a bad sign.
But he
took it as a good sign. He took it as Claudia. Oh. He took it as Claudia saying, hi, you know, you're on the right track here.
I like her.
And so you guys kiss.
Kiss. You have to kiss.
And then he's like, so what do you see in the future now? And you say, well, and then you say, well, we cut to commercial. We come back.
Okay.
We have almost like a That's a Raven moment where our eyes, you know, and it's 1 year later. Okay. And we are at your wedding. You're walking down the aisle. I'm standing obviously as the maid of honor and Ken is the best man. What are we wearing? You say, because there's a zoom in. We're wearing matching wedding rings already. Our wedding already has happened.
Oh my God, I love that.
Okay, so then when the wedding happens, maybe we
even do-si-do.
Maybe.
I say my I do. Okay, no do-si-do. That's fine.
I mean, do you want to share your wedding day?
Yours is a private ceremony off camera.
Well, this is how. So maybe we don't zoom in on the wedding rings.
Okay.
What happens is you guys get married.
Right.
And then obviously Ken and I have to walk down the aisle behind you. And I say, come on, sweetie. And I grab the hand of the flower girl who is our adopted daughter.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And.
Yes.
And.
Aww.
And I turn to Ken and I say, did you really have to wear the silk shirt under your tux? And he said, well, I wanted to make sure we all had a lucky day.
Oh my God.
Okay. And the movie is called Vision of Love. And of course,
Vision of Love.
The song that's played is Mariah Carey's A Vision of Love.
Absolutely. And
you treated me mean, sweet destiny. Da, 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 da.
I love that. I'm obsessed.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Wowzer.
I don't know about you, but that made me want to have a boyfriend.
I need a boyfriend, Chris.
Okay, well, we don't have that, but what I do have for you is our final segment, which is
Praise to the Praises. Yeah.
Okay, Jesse, are you ready for this one? Because I like this one.
Bring it.
Because what we're dealing with here is something we've never dealt with. And that is a mother daughter reviewing team who
you better shut up.
Okay, so 5 stars. It's from S Buck 17. We're gonna call her Sarah. That's the vibe I'm getting.
S Club 7. Sarah.
No,
good.
It says S Buck 17, not S Club 7.
Okay. Well, Sarah, I love it already.
And she says, literally pure gold. Okay. I am a teacher and life has been a little crazy recently, and this is literally one of the main things keeping me going.
Aww.
It is hilarious. It literally boosts my mood so much that I laugh excessively and sometimes I can't breathe.
Oh.
Every single segment brings me life, especially the Hallmark movies. Also, my mom wrote the review that you read this week and it was so accurate. She is literally everything you described and more, and obviously has great taste in podcasts. Thank you.
Wait, oh my God, is this the one who, oh my God. Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, wait. Two things happened. First of all, I spoke loudly and my sister has fully fallen asleep and I scared her. Second of all, I remember the mother saying she connected with the podcast with her daughter and even introduced her daughter to it. Remember that review?
Yeah, I think that was her.
Okay, so this family is incredible.
I mean,
of course her daughter's a teacher. Am I surprised? No. Sarah's out there teaching. Sarah single-handedly is going to turn the youth around in this country.
Oh, 100%. Her mother raised a woman that can teach the youth, you know. But the difference between right and wrong, as well as their times tables.
It would not surprise me if I walked into Sarah's classroom and to the right when you come in is a star chart. Of course there's a star chart, because first of all, everyone's getting stars, okay?
Even the class troublemaker, Malcolm, he still gets a star because he does his best.
If I know Sarah the way I think I know Sarah, Sarah sees Malcolm and sees a middle in him and says, you know what? This kid needs stars more than maybe we all do. I'm giving him a moon if I have to. And he'll be the caboose if we need this week for the line.
Yeah. You know what? And the caboose, some might say, is the most important part of
the
train.
I've always said that. Absolutely the most important part. You know, everyone wants to be the line leader, but what about the caboose?
What about the caboose? No one wants to be the caboose, but someone has to be, okay? And that's why it's important.
Yeah, and Sarah, you know that Sarah has story time. And they sit on some sort of circle rug that's got, I don't know, the alphabet or letters or colors, okay? There's something
on
there.
Or maybe even animals. I don't know.
It could be animals.
I guess it
You're
depends
very right.
on the grade, but...
Right. Well, for sure. I could see her with kindergarten. I could see her with fifth grade.
I could see her with the high school seniors. She connects. She connects to them. And you know what? She says, listen, I know times are tough. Puberty, it's hard.
Yeah. Oh.
But I'm going to be that teacher that when you're famous and you come back to town, you're going to be like, that's Mrs.
Caboose.
Caboose. And
Ms. Caboose.
If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here, you know?
Yeah, and Sarah, Mrs. Caboose, some of the boys say it, and they say it because, you know what, you got a great tush, and I would walk, you walk down the halls knowing that, okay?
And they feel comfortable with you, you know? I just watched the Schitt's Creek where Jocelyn is talking about how one of her students got a boner, and she's like, I mean, with a teacher like me, what are they doing? But anyway, Sarah and Sarah's mother, we adore you, obviously.
We love ya.
If we ever go on tour, listen, we're going to bring you up on stage.
We need you ladies on stage with us. There's no question there.
And that goes for all of our listeners. Okay, guys.
Yes.
So as always, we love you. Make sure that you follow Facebook, Stuck in the Middle group on Facebook. We're going to put up
where you'll see Penelope.
Jesse's ridiculous emu that cost $168. follow Middle Children Podcast on Instagram. And of course, if you need more, if you're like, where is more? I need more. I can't wait till Monday.
Go to patreon.com/middlechildren,
where, of course, you can get way more episodes, okay? It's a goddamn blast and a half. And listen, we're not waiting for COVID to do special things, so we'll have a special announcement pretty soon.
Ooh!
Okay, so until then, live every day like you are the oldest.
Love you. Bye.
The Middle Children.
Middle Children is produced by Cameron Rude.
Our theme song is written and performed by Hannah Solo and Alex Mitchell.
With photography by Sarah Nathan.
And artwork by Abby Lloyd.